This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Matt Trainham's here with us, founder, CEO of MBS Live, bringing us the news we don't want to hear today, but we need to hear. And he does a great job with his excellent website, mbslive.net. How are you, friend?
News you don't want to hear. If you want, we can do fake news, and I can say rates are even lower than they were last week, and everything's great. But that would indeed be fake news.
May 9th. Yeah, we had the highs back then. I put up on the screen where we hit a high. What was that? 2.87, and it looks like we could be checking close to testing those highs. Do you think that's going to happen this week?
Well, I think that's going to depend a lot on CPI on Friday, maybe the ECB announcement on Thursday to some extent. And whether we do or we don't, we'll talk about what I think the general trend is here in a second. But let's get caught up really quickly with last week. First off, on the data front, a couple interesting things going on. We had Case-Shiller and FHFA home prices both come in still scorching in terms of year-over-year price appreciation. Case-Shiller, I think, set a new record, 21.2% year-over-year, FHFA 19%. The big caveat to these numbers is the fact that this refers to March home sales, and if it was sold in March, then it was probably negotiated in January or February, depending on how quickly it closed. But the point being is that we can safely say that the 20% price increases year over year will ebb shortly based on, you know, what's being reported on the purchase side of the market. Chicago PMI, consumer confidence, both surprised the upside. This was a theme throughout the week for several reports, which were slightly stronger than expected. And that sort of surprised the market. It didn't necessarily surprise economists in every scenario, but I think market participants were expecting to see a little bit more impact from inflation and rising rates start to take a toll on the economy, that sort of thing. And it's not taking as much of a toll as they thought. One thing that I thought was interesting was the fact that the market is starting to react to economic data that it didn't really react to for most of the past year and change. Inflation has been the driving narrative, and things like employment related data, especially things like ADP employment, haven't really made a dent. But then on Wednesday morning, we actually did see a little positive reaction to a lower than expected ADP number. And then we saw a negative reaction to a higher than expected ISM manufacturing number. And that was really, I think, the centerpiece of the week in terms of economic data moving the bond market. Yeah. It was so overt that it forces us to ask what's going on with that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it goes back to something we were talking about 2 weeks ago, which is that bonds can only gain so much ground in an environment where we're waiting to see what's going on with inflation. And yeah, we happened to gain a little bit more ground after we talked 2 weeks ago, but then indeed that 2.72 technical level in treasuries acted as a floor, and we're settling into what we thought would be a volatile sideways range. Fingers crossed it's sideways. I mean, we have to see how high yields go. And so while we're in that sideways range, or what we hope will be a sideways range, we have these fine-tuning adjustments that will account for the volatility inside that range. It's the inflation trends that will shape the big picture trend for rates, and of course the Fed's policy response. But the economic data sort of allows for those fine-tuning adjustments and the volatility inside that range. And I think the takeaway last week was that the economy is doing a little bit better than the average trader thought it would be, given the inputs in terms of inflation and rates. Last piece of that puzzle was Friday with the jobs report. Hasn't been a huge market mover recently. It wasn't a huge market mover on Friday, but it did move markets, and it moved markets more than I think most people would expect given the details of the report. It's only 390 jobs, or 90,000 versus 325 forecast, and unemployment rate ticked up, earnings ticked down 0.1% from the forecast. And so it was a lackluster report apart from the payroll headline. Nonetheless, rates jumped higher on the news and really only recovered with some help from ISM non-manufacturing, another important top shelf report, maybe not the highest shelf, but, you know, second highest. So the takeaway is that there is some attention being paid to economic data that in a more significant way than has been the case in recent months. But looking ahead, it's still all about inflation. Big CPI report coming up on Friday. No Fed speakers this week. They're in their blackout period ahead of next week's Fed announcement. The announcement is guaranteed to have a 50 bip rate hike. We'll talk more about this next Monday, obviously. But I think traders will be getting in position for that throughout the week. And then potentially huge reaction to CPI, any CPI report these days is a potentially huge market mover. And we just want to see if that thing continues to cool down or if it is starting to have second thoughts about cooling down. And that will definitely decide whether or not we stay in the sideways trend. If it is much hotter than expected, we're going to probably move up and out of that range you asked me about at the beginning. And 10-year yields would be able to test 3.2 in that scenario. So let's hope they don't. And let's hope we can escape to next week and confirm that this indeed is a sideways range and not just a pause before continuing toward even higher rates.
Very interesting. Jack, thoughts on all of this? I know you're a studier and observer of the markets. Thoughts on all this?
David, it seems like we're operating in an alternative universe right now. And in this alternative universe, money center bank chairman CEO becomes meteorologist and rappers become economists. And so I'm talking about Jamie Dimon last week came out at an investor conference and said, brace yourself for the economic hurricane. And he cited a couple drivers of this, the first of which he threw out that it's possible, potential, that oil could hit $150 to $175 a barrel. But more importantly, he spent a lot of time talking about quantitative tightening and his concern around pulling money back out of the system and how we will fare with this aggressive QT. And we've talked about QT on the podcast before, but here you've got Jamie assuming the role of meteorologist, and then rapper Cardi B questions whether or not the U.S. is in a recession over Twitter. And I just thought, I'm in an alternative universe right now.
Matt, you're chuckling up there, up in Portland as you listen to this. You got to be.
No, I mean, well, yes. Okay, yes. If he's going to mention Cardi B, yeah, that's worth a chuckle for sure.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of really concern about where we're at and what's going to happen to the markets. And I was reading several articles over the weekend. Smart money's moving out of the equities right now, just quietly pulling back. So what's that going to do? We're going to find out because Matt got it all over his screen. You can have it. At least the bond market stuff, that's all there. And it's great information. I love what you do. Jack, I love your perspective. That is good. I love it. Alternative reality we are in. Yes, very much. Gentlemen, thank you so much for that great report. Next week, we're pre-recording an interview and sharing with Brandon Weiss and Amy Moses of EscrowTab. We were talking a little bit of why is it that the whole digital experience moving at such a ridiculously glacial speed. Folks, we're going to be talking to two experts on this. Brandon and Amy used to work at MERS. And that's when I first met Brandon. And Amy seemed such a good friend. And she talked about how she respects Brandon as a leader. So we're going to get some great content from a leadership perspective. And we're also going to be talking about the latest technology. It's a transformation that is taking. And it's going to be playing on nicely to what we talked about with John today. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra Fusion Mortgage Bot Solution, Form Free, Lender Toolkit, SnapDocs, Total Experts, Simple Nexus, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, Mobility, MMI, Modex, as well as at Mortgage Advisor Tools, as well as DW Consulting. And we appreciate you. Check out all our sponsors and the links on the website, Looking on Lending. We're grateful to have you here. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licking of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.